Today's daf is Sanhedrin Daf Vav, and we are 12 lines from the bottom of Daf Hei Amid Beis Gufa Amar Shmuel. Today's daf is being learned as a schos for Acheinu Bnei Yisrael Hanasuna Matzara Vashivya. Today's daf is also being learned as a schos Rufu Shalema for Rechama Rivka Bas Rachel, Zisel Rachel Bas Alta Frumit, and Yehoinason Eitan Bas Batsheva Brachel. So we're still moving along, discussing the first halacha of the Masechta, and that is Dinei Mamonos B'Shloisha. Now, in the beginning of yesterday's daf, we did a little bit of a recap of the first three dafin, and we mentioned that really it's an introduction for Daf Hei and also for Daf Vav. But there's one point that's worth chazering over now, and that's going to segue us into the daf, which is we saw that there was a Machloikis Amayuroim. Machloikis between Ravo and Rabavo on the one hand, and Rav Acha Brei de Ravika on the other hand, as it relates to Hoida'is Vehalvois, where the Mishnah says that the halacha is, it requires three dayanim, albeit the three dayanim could be hedyotos. This, that it requires three dayanim, is that midai raisa, or is that only midai rabbanon? And really, what it's toluyin is a shas, Lumdisha Shaila, Eruv Parshios Kasov Khan, or Ein Eruv Parshios Kasov Khan. Rabavo and Rava were of the opinion that although the Iker Halacha of Dine Mamonis Beshloisha was mentioned by Gzelois and by extension by Chavalois, but Eruv Parshios Kasov Khan and the Parsha of Halvois is in the same neighborhood as the Parsha of Gzelois, and as a result, we say that the Halacha of Dine Mamonis Beshloisha by Gzelois and Chavalois applies equally to Hoidois Vehalvois. Rav Acha Brei de Ravika was Chaylik. Rav Acha Brei de Ravika said that Ein Eruv Parshios Kasov Khan, and the Halacha of Shloisha Dayanim that it says by Gzelos Vehalvois does not apply to Hoidois Vehalvois. And if that's the case, Midai Raisa, all you would need is one Dayan for Hoidois Vehalvois, based on the Pasik of Betzedek Tishbei Tamisecha, and it's only Midai Rabbanon that it requires even three dayan. Now the Gemara said, "My ikka bein Rava, the Rav Acha Brei de Ravika." What is the nafgamina between these two opinions? When we learned the first sugya in the Gemara, we saw there's no nafgamina in pshat in the Mishnah. So my ikka, what is the nafgamina lahalacha? And the Gemara said the nafgamina is something Shmuel said. Shmuel said, "Shnayim shedonu dinein din, ela shenikreu bezdin chatzav." That what would be if two dayanim, bidiyevet, would paskin hoidois v'alvois, would it be a din or would it not be a din? Shmuel said, dineim din, narvas, it's a bezdin chatzof, the mechutzofim. Why the mechutzofim? Because they went kineged what the rabbanon said they should do. Said the Gemara, if you hold that midai raisa, hoidois v'alvois, dineim mominus could be even with one dayan, so it makes a lot of sense what Shmuel's saying. No, l'chadchila, you're supposed to adhere to what the Rabbanon said. If you don't, you're a mechutziv, but at the same time, the din is going to be a din. If, however, you hold that midday raisa, even hoidois v'alvois requires three dayanim, so then, lesser the Shmuel, you're not going to be able to hold Shmuel's halacha, because if the Torah said that you have to have three dayanim, and you go and you violate what the Torah said, k'muvin, it's not going to be okay. In other words, the nafgamino between whether or not Hoidois v'alvois, midday raisa, requires three dayanim, or one dayan is enough, is what would be if two dayanim went ahead and paskin. The truth is, on that Beis Amid Beis, the Gemara brought a memra from Rabavo. Rabavo said, "Shnayim shedonu dinei mominois, ledivrei hakoil, ein dinei emden." Which, by the way, blatantly contradicts what Shmuel said. Bechura, just from making a little bit of a sikum, even before starting today's daf, it would seem that this machloikis, Rabavo and Shmuel, whether shnayim shidonu dineim din elo shenikru b'ezdin chatzav, or shnayim shidonu dineim mamnes liver akol ein dineim din, is totally in the machloikis amayram, whether hidayis v'avoyis midei raisa requires three dayanim or only one dayan. Either way, the beginning of today's daf is going to get into this shayla. Shnayim shidonu dineim din elo shenikru b'ezdin chatzav, or the divrei akol ein dineim din. It would seem to be a machloikis between Shmuel and Rabavo. It would seem to be totally in the more fundamental question of Hoidois v'alvois, three dayanim, one dayan, midday raisa. Part one of today's daf is a deep dive into the shaila. The Gemara then is going to digress, not mamish, but go me'inyan le'inyan, and it's going to talk about arbitration. So the concept of an arbitrator, what's known in halacha as pshara, and that is going to be the backdrop of the second part of today's daf, stating that, you turn the page, daf vav amud beis, it's a long daf, it looks like an agada tiga daf, it is, and really, as we're going to see, there's some real gems, some classic gemaras tucked away here in a gemara where the backdrop, again, is Sanhedrin, and some of the more fundamental halacha is in Hilchis Dayanim. Either way, says the Gemara, 12 lines from the bottom of Daf Hei Amid Beis Gufa, Amas Shmuel, Shmuel said, Beish Adonu Dinei, and Din Elish Nikru Bezen Chatzav. So if you have two Dayanim, that Paskin Adois Val Vois, Bidi Evid, it's a good day. However, there, Michut Zaf, Yosef Rab Nachman, Rab Nachman was sitting, Kama the Hosh Maita, and he said over what Shmuel said, Isfei Rav, the Rab Nachman, so Rav was there, and he asked Rab Nachman a question from a Mishnah later, Afilu Shnai Mezakin, Oishnai Mechayvim, what would be if you have three Dayanim that are presiding over Dinei Mominus? Two of them said Zakai, or two of them said Chayev, Aber ve'echod oimer eni edeya. One of them said, I don't know. So the Mishnah says, Yosifu hadayonim. You have to add a dayan. And the reason you have to add a dayan is because you can't paskin a shiloh with two dayanim. You have to have three dayanim. If one of them says, I don't know, that's not a good answer. And as a result, we have to be moisif. So Rav asked Rav Nachman a geshmak a question. If you're going to tell me that what Shmuel said is correct, that bidiyevet, two dayanim da paskin is okay. So lahavik kishnayim shadanu. So why do you have to be moisif? Let them bidiyevet be like two dayanim da paskin, and the halacha should be that it should be okay. Meaning, we understand lechatchila you have to have three, but lechatchila they did have three. Norvas, one of them said any idea, and as a result, you're stuck now in a bind because you're only going to have two that are offering an opinion. But that's fine. If bidiyevet two is always okay, then here it should be, at the very least, bidiyeved, fine. And why do you have to be moisif? Another dayan. So the Gemara Shani Hasam there. It's different. The Meikara Adaita the Tlasa Yisivi. Being that when they sat down to Paskin, the thought process was that we're going to be a bezdin of Gimel. Once you do that, all Gimel, all three would have to offer an opinion. Ach and Shmuel's case, Lab Adaita the Tlasa Yisivi. They didn't sit down as a bezdin of three, to the contrary, they sat down as a bezdin of two, and that's something that bidiyevet works. As much as it's true, bidiyevet shnayim shadanu dinei and din, that's if they went into the situation as two. If, however, they went into it as three, once you go down the road that we're going to be a bezdin of three, it has to be completed with a bezdin of three, and you can't rely on Shmuel's halacha, even bidiyevet. Esvein achakasha on Shmuel's memra. And this is from a brisa, Reb Shimon ben Gamliel loin. Reb Shimon Gamliel said, Hadin b'shloisha u'pshara b'shnayim. So, hadin, dinei mamonos, requires three dayanim. Pshara, arbitration, two dayanim. V'yofa koyach pshara mikoyach hadin. Reb Shimon Gamliel continued, and he said that the koyach of pshara is even better than din. Why? Sheshnayim shadonu baleidinin yicholim lachse behen. Because if two dayanim with paskin, if the baleidinim decide they don't like the outcome, they have a right to walk away. Abavishnayim sha'asu pshara. But if you have two dayanim that oversaw an arbitration, ain baleidinin yicholim lachse behen, then if the baleidinim want to walk away, they can't do that. What do you see from here? It's mefurish. Shnayim shadonu baleidinim yicholim lachse behen. Why? Because dinei mamonos b'shloisha. It's a kasha. This is the eisavei on Shmuel, who said beisha donu dineim din that b'diavad it is okay. Elo shenikra bezin chatzav. Now the kasha is from what Reb Shimon Gamliel says. It says the Gemara b'chitei mepligi rabbanu led Reb Shimon Gamliel. If you're going to tell me that it's true Reb Shimon ben Gamliel said this, but maybe the rabbanon are chaylik, meaning maybe the rabbanon hold that b'diavad two dayanim is okay. It's not true because va'amr Rabbavo said shnayim shadonu l'divrei hakoil ein dineim din. That if two dayanim paskin, everybody holds it's not a din. And who's the everybody? He was referring to this brisa, not just Reb Shimon Gamliel. Everybody holds that it's not going to be a din. So you see, Mefurish Reb Avo said that what Reb Shimon Gamliel said is not exclusively shitas Reb Shimon Gamliel, but it's really the opinion of everybody. So it's a kasha on Shmuel. What's the kasha? Because Reb Shimon Gamliel says Mefurish two dayanim that paskin, it's not okay. And Reb Avo said that it's not only Reb Shimon Gamliel, it's also the Chachamim. And for the Gemara, Gavra Karomis, what kind of question is that? The question is predicated on Reb Avo's comment on the Brisa. Shmuel is going to be chaylik on Reb Avo's comment on the Brisa. And this is really the core, the makayer of the machloikis between Reb Avo and Shmuel that we mentioned in the introduction. Shmuel held that when Reb Shimon ben Gamliel said, "Shnayim shadonu baleidinim yicholim lachsvem." It's only the opinion of Reb Shimon ben Gamliel. Whereas the Chachamim argue, Reb Avo
came la'afuke that. He said ledivrei akoyel. It's not just shitas Rav Shimon Gamliel. That is the core of the machloikis. But of course, you can't ask a kasha from a braisa on Shmuel that's predicated on Rav Avoh's understanding of the braisa. You could ask a kasha on Shmuel all day long, but if it's predicated on Rav Avoh's understanding in the braisa, then the question is dead on arrival. Gufa. So the Gemara is going to turn its attention from its brief analysis of Shita Shmuel to an even briefer analysis of Shita's Rav Avoh. Amar Rav Avoh. Rav Avoh said, Shnayim shadonu dinei mominis, ledivri akoil, ein dinei hendin. So Rav Avoh is 180 degrees of Shmuel. He holds that two dayanim, the paskin dinei mominis, everybody agrees. Not just Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, everybody agrees it's not going to be a good day. Esfi Rav Abba, Rav Avoh. So Rav Abba asked the kasha to Rav Avoh from a Mishnah, and this Mishnah is a Mesechtes Bechoyrois. So underrated, there's a lot of Hilchas dayanim in Mesechtes Bechoyrois. And the reason is, yesterday's daf was a clue, yata b'chayres, right? Because the fact that a judge had to preside over hetta b'chayres was a very big deal in Masechtas b'chayres, and there's some hilchas dayanim that plays itself out over there. But regardless, so this is a Mishnah Masechtas b'chayres. Rab Abba asks it to Rab Avo, Dones Hadin, if somebody paskin a shayla, v'zikas achayiv, v'chayves hazakai, timei es ha-tohar, tir es ha-tomoi. He made a mistake. Masha asa asoi. Whatever he did is considered done. U'mashal mi beisoi. But at the same time, he's going to have to make the person that ended up losing unlawfully whole. But what do you see from here? You see from here that shnayim shedonu dineyim. In fact, you see from here, even one die in the paskins, the din is going to be a din. Where do you see that? Don es hadin is a lashon yachid. So it sounds like even one dayan is going to be okay. So Rab Abba asks Rab Avoh, l'chura, this Mishnah is a raya to Shmuel. It's a kasha on you, Rab Avoh. Now Tosfos, right in the beginning of the sugya, says, one second, this is a kasha only on Rab Avoh. L'chura, this is a kasha on Shmuel again. As well, because what did Shmuel say? Shmuel said, "Shnayim shadonu dineim din ela shenikur bezin chatzav." Over here, you see, even in Eid Echad, even Shmuel never said in Eid Echad, "Say a dayan Echad." Says Tosfos, you see from this Gemara that when Shmuel said "Shnayim shadonu," he meant lav dafka shnayim. He meant two adin echad, meaning two is lav dafka, one as well. Why did he say two? He said two. But the bottom line is that even a dayan Echad is going to be okay. And Tosfos, what's my raya? This kasha, because from the fact that this kasha is only a kasha on Rav Avoh, it's not a kasha on Shmuel. So it's a meres. When Shmuel said his halacha of base, he meant aleph as well. But the bottom line is, this is a great kasha on Rav Avoh, because you see beforeish, even one dying b'di'evet al kaponim, his din's going to be a din. So the Gemara says, "Hachav Mayaskini." You know what that Mishnah is talking about? The kiblu alayu. It's talking about a very unique case when the Bali Dinim said that we're not interested in going through the traditional rigors of the court system. Let's just agree that we're going to go to him, and whatever he says, that's going to work. So it's true. It's not going al pi the Shulchan Aruch of how this is supposed to play itself out. It's talking about where they were makabel. If they makabel, the halacha is the Gemara says, "Yochei bazoi, I mind the shalom yibesai." If they were makabel, and we saw this already in yesterday's daf, so why is the halacha that if the dayan makes a mistake, that the dayan has to pay? If they said that we're willing to take your psak, knowing that maybe this guy's not qualified enough, he's only one dayan when there's really supposed to be three dayanim, so why then does he have to pay? Isn't it included in their Kabbalah that if you make a mistake, you're going to be okay? Aren't they waiving their rights to go after him? They're indemnifying him of any taz? So the Gemara says no, because the Amalei, they could always say, Dainus London Taira. That's the way the Maram and the Marshal Agairis, Beloshim Bitnia, did you give us a real din? Meaning, we hired you to issue a real psak. If you blew it and you came up with some gruesome mistake, so for that, we would never suffer v'kibel, and as a result, you're going to have to pay. So the Gemara says, just as a postscript to this Mishnah, Amalei Rav Safa the Rav Abba, the Tav b'Mai. What was this toys that this Mishnah is talking about? Elim the Tav b'Dvar Mishnah. Is it talking about where this Dayan made a toys? B'Dvar Mishnah, he forgot a Mishnah. Can't be, because va'amarav sheishes, amarav ami, Tav b'Dvar Mishnah chayzer. Anytime a Dayan is Tav b'Dvar Mishnah, the halacha is, he can unwind it, meaning the din is not even a din. It's a garnish. So if it's garnish, why are we even having this conversation? You do pay, you don't pay, it's nothing. The whole thing was lotzer al pitz luchisai. It's as if it never happened. Mikano labolam afreya. Nothing ever took place over here. So the Gemara says, "Oh, okay. You have to say the tov b'shegladas." It's talking about where he didn't completely blow it. It's not like he forgot a mishnah. He went to sugya and he came out with the wrong psak. Mar says, Hechi dami b'shikul adas. Can you give us an example of shikul adas? Amar Rapapa. Rapapa said, you're going to trade tanoi v'trei amiroi, the pligi adot. You have a sukyu. And there's a machlekes tanoim, there's a machlekes amiroi, v'loi itme hilchas aloi kamar v'loi kamar. And when you go through the sugi, it's not clear who the halach is. Obe v'sugin da alma, libe d'chad minayo. The sugi is mashma like one. V'ozaliyu v'ovid ki'iduch. If this dying would go, and he would paskin, not like the Tan or the Amoru, that the sugi is mashma, that it's like him. Hainu shikul adas. That means he used the shikul adas. I mean, he didn't go keneged a Gemara. As if the Gemara says that the halacha is like Rav Shimon Gamliel, and he paskin like Rebbe. That's not what happened over here. That's a Tobit Var Mishnah. It means there was some shikul adas over here, where he had to use the fifth of Shulchan Aruch, and he made a little bit of a mistake. That's the toss that this Mishnah is talking about. But the bottom line is, the kasha was, isn't there a mefurish in Mishnah b'chayres, donis adin, Zikas Achayev, Chayvas Hazakai. You see, a Dayan Echad has the ability to paskin. Oh, that should be a Raya to Shmuel that holds Shnaim Shadonu. And like Tosfos says, even one Dayan that dance, Dineim Din, Elosh Nikr Bezen Chotzov. Akasha Rabbavol, who said, Ledivri Akoil, not only Rav Shimon Gamliel. According to everybody, it's not okay. The Gemara says, no, this is a unique situation that Mishnah is talking about. Gagoin, Dikiblu Alay. So the bottom line is, what do we have here? We have a Machloikis, Shmuel, and Rabbavol. According to Shmuel, Dine Momenus Beshloisha, but Bidiyevit, two Dayanim, and even one Dayan is going to be okay. According to Rav Avol, that's not true. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel said Mefurish in Abraisa, what Rav Avol say. And really, the core of the machloikis between Shmuel and Rav Avol is whether Rav Shimon Gamliel is a Das Yachid, but the Chachamim are Chaylek, or what Rav Shimon Gamliel said is really Ledivrei Ha'akov. The Gemara asked two kashas on Shmuel, one kasha on Rav Avol. Everything was answered, and what we're left with is a machloikis amirim. Says the Gemara, let me get tanna. It would seem maybe this machloikis amirim is really a machloikis tanna'im, and the mekor to this machloikis tanna'im is a braisa, bitzua. So what's bitzua? Rashi says one word, pshara. A pshara, bishloisha, divi rameh. The mayor says that you need three dayanim to preside over a pshara. The chachamim say, pshara biyachid, you don't need three, but one is going to be okay. So the Gemara says, Savrua, the Amoira that was suggesting Lema Katanoi was of the opinion, the Kuli Alma, everybody agrees, Makshinim Shara Ladin, that the amount of Dayanim that you need for Pshara is the amount of Dayanim you need for Din. There's no difference between Pshara and Din. My Laba, Hiko Miflegain. If that's the case, presumably this is the Machloikis. The Marasavar Din Bishloisha. Umarasavar Din Bishnayim. The Machloikis probably is the Machloikis Shmuel Rabbaval. If you hold that Din b'di'evit requires three, so pshara is going to be three. If you hold that din could be done b'di'evit with one, since very good, that pshara is going to be one. But the Gemara says, like, the kuli alma din b'shloisha. Everybody holds din is b'shloisha. Could be like Rabba Avo, b'hocha b'hocha miflegi. You want to know what the machloikis in this price is? The marasava makshin pshara l'din. Umarasava lay makshin pshara l'din. The shaylas hagufa is pshara the same as din? Does it mirror din or not? If it mirrors din, so din needs shloisha, then pshara is also going to need shloisha. If lay makshin pshara l'din, just because din needs shloisha doesn't necessarily mean that pshara needs shloisha. Says the Gemara, lema tlosa tanoi b'pshara, on the topic of pshara, can we take away from what we've seen already in today's daf that there are three shittas as it relates to pshara? What are the three shittas? The mar sava b'shloisha, that's Rameyer, bitzua b'shloisha, umar sava b'shnayim, who said shnayim? So you have to go back to the bottom of daf hem days. Reb Shimon Gamliel Loimer Hadin B'Shloisha U'Pshara B'Shnayim U'Mar Sava B'Yachid. That's the Chachamim in our Braisa here. Pshara B'Yachid. Right? Sounds like this three sheetahs. Gemara says, no. Omer Rav Acha B'Rei Ravika V'Itema Rav Yemer Bar Shlam Yaman Dal Matrei Afilu Chad Nam. Could be Reb Shimon Gamliel said to, he didn't mean to. He meant even what? I took a Matrei. The reason that he said two is ki hechi di lahavu oleho sahadi. Meaning, in Hilchis Dayanos, one would be enough, but you want that there should be two Edom that witnessed the Psharis. Like this, nobody can back out later. So Shimon Gamliel just said, Al Silchas Edus, you should have two. But Al Silchas Dayonus, for that, really, one would be enough. I'm Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi heard this whole exchange and he made the following comment. He said, Shema Mina, Pshara Eino Tzricha Kinyan. I see from here that a Pshara doesn't require a Kinyan. Why? This is a Gadai Tzricha Kinyan. Because if you're going to tell me that a Pshara requires a Kinyan, Lamanda Amar Tzricha Tlas, according to Mandama that says three, Lomali, Tiski Betray, have two. Meaning, have your Edim, velikni mina, and just make a kinyan. And once you make a kinyan, so it's all done anyways, right? To the extent that there's a kinyan going on over here, so why would you need the three dayanim? But the Gemara says that even though this was Rav Ashi's thought process, v'hilchas ha-pshara tzricha kinyan, at the end of the day, pshara does require a kinyan. Now there's a long Tosfos here, it's the last Tosfos on the Amud, where Tosfos discusses what does it mean, pshara tzricha kinyan. Tosfos brings two pshatim. Right, if you look at the first words of Tosfos, in the farish, right? Tosfos masupik. What exactly it means? One side Tosfos had was that the kinyan was made. Right, the Gemara comes out hilchas of pshara tzricha kinyan, that the kinyan was made before the pshara. So the two parties, they stand in front of the arbitrator or the arbitrators, and they commit that whatever the arbitrator says, this is what they're going to go along with. Again, this is not din. Din you don't have to commit to. Din is din. You have to follow the halacha. If you don't, you're a good old-fashioned goslin. But here, they're agreeing to some sort of compromise. They're agreeing to some sort of arbitration. So the question is, this kinyan that you're making, when are you making it? So one side is, they would sit down, and before anything, they would make a kinyan, and the purpose of the kinyan was that we're now obligating ourselves to whatever this arbitrator is going to say. So it's not just dvarim ba'alma, they're actually doing a kinyan. Tosfos has, however, a different pshat. He says, Anderen wanted to say that the kinyan was done noch de pshar, that the arbitrator would hear it out, he would come to some sort of resolution. Do you agree? Yes, I agree. Do you agree? Yes, I agree. Let's make a kinyan, and that's when the kinyan was done. Tosfos goes through the merit of both of these different stadim, and Tosfos tries bringing raya's. One of the things that Tosfos digresses into, which is very fundamental, if to commit to a pshara requires a kinyan, says Tosfos, what about mechila? You find the concept of mechila throughout halacha. Someone's moichel l'chayv. Usually you think he was just moichel it. Do you have to do a kinyan? So Tosfos, I never thought you have to do a kinyan. But if pshara tzricha kinyan, then maybe mechila is also tzricha kinyan. This is a real lundish, a real intense halachic discussion. Rabbeinu Tam, the Rivam, there's a lot happening over here. The Bahag, the Tosfos, Ayin Shom, we are going to go weiter either way. So we started off the daf with the machloikis between Shmuel and Rav Avo. From there we got into a little bit of the topic of pshara. What we saw is three shittas in the Tanaim. How many dayanim you need for a pshara? Is it three? Is it two? Is it one? The Gemara says, could be, it's really only two shittas. It's three or one. The shita that says two would only need two because of the eda. Pshara tzricha kinyan, ain't tzricha kinyan. Rav Ashi thought that from the sugya, it's mashma pshara, ain't tzricha kinyan. But the Gemara comes out, the hilchasa, that really the halacha is that it's tzricha kinyan. The Gemara now is going to bring a braisa. It's actually a very, very long braisa. It's in the Tosefta. And this braisa is going to discuss another topic. And that is it lechatchila for a bezdin to do a pshara? Or is it lechatchila for the bezdin to try to figure out what the real halacha is? So if two people come to a bezdin, they're killing each other. Should bezdin try to compromise? Is that the lechatchila the good thing to do? Or should they try to paskin the shayla? And as we're going to see, it was a whole bunch of different opinions amongst the Tanaim. Could be even a machloikis Moshe and Aharon, as in Moshe Rabbeinu and Aharon Akoyin, as we're going to see in the course of the daf, in terms of, is pshara lechatchila, is it b'di'evet, it's a mitzvah to do a pshara, it's also to do a pshara, a langa braisa, with some digressions in the braisa itself. Either way, Tanu Rabbanon, shem shadin b'shloisha, kach b'itzua b'shloisha. Just like dinim amanis b'shloisha, pshara is also b'shloisha. Nigmar hadin, once is a gmar din, iyato rashoi levtzai. So once there's a gemar din, you can't do a pshar. Now, it's going to emerge from the course of the daf that we have to make a diak in this one line. It doesn't really jump at you right now. You can't appreciate it unless you know the end of the daf, but it's kedai to mention it now because it's going to feature prominently later in the cheshmen. When the Braisa says, Nigmar Hadin, Iyato Rashoi Levtzoya, it implies that before the gemar din, Ato Rashoi Levtzoya, which would suggest that pshara is optional. You want to do it, yeah. You don't want to do it, no. It's not mefurish, but it's implied. Nigmar hadin, then you're not allowed to. As if to say, far the gemar din, you're allowed to. That then is the opening opinion of this braisa as it relates to pshara is a good thing, it's a bad thing. It's really gnarly above. It's parv. You want to, yeah. You don't want to, no. But just make sure that whatever you do before the Gemar Din. Because Nigmar Adin, once it's a Gemar Din, once somebody's Yotze Zaka, is Yotze Chayiv, now you're a day late and a dollar short. At that point, Iya Torah Shoy Levtzai. Either way, Sarmash Bankash Simen. Zok Tigmar, Rebliyaz, Benoish Rabbi Yisak Lili Yomer. And by the way, even though we interrupt this next piece of Gemara with the Simen, we're really injecting the siman in the middle of the braisa, which is interesting. But the bottom line is that really the braisa is continuing. So you can almost make believe that the siman wasn't there, but what we're about to read now is a continuation of the first line of this braisa. By the way, why would the siman be put in the middle of a braisa? It's a interesante zach, right? Why put it here? So if you understand the siman, then you would understand why. The purpose of the siman is, it's samach resh mem shin beis nun kuf shin, and really it's Rosh Tevis for eight tanoim that are going to be mentioned now in the course of the Gemara. So being that the siman is related to the names, so the siman was placed in front of the first name. It's not so much related to the braisa as it is related to the names in the braisa. So therefore, before the first name of the braisa, that's where we mention the siman. But either way, Rabbi Eliezer, and Leishol Beis Aglilioimer, Rabbi Eliezer, the son of Rabbi Yisak, we said, asr of tzaya. It's asr for a dying to make a pshar. V'chola beitzeya hareza choyte. And if someone makes a pshar, he makes compromises, he's a sinner. V'chola mevarech has a beitzeya. And if somebody benches a beitzeya, hareza minna'etz. What he's doing is not a good thing. He's a minna'etz. He's being mecharef u'megadef. This is like the worst thing you could do. V'alzen emar, and it's regarding this that David HaMelech said in Tehillim, ki hilel rosho al tavas nafshoi, u'beitzeya beirech, Nietz Hashem. Boitzeya Berech, somebody that benches the Boitzeya, he benches the compromiser. Nietz Hashem. He's doing something very, very bad. Elo, what should you do? Yikoy Vadin Esahar. What you should do is, you should follow the din. And even if following the din is going to be a difficult thing to do, it's fine. Let the din make a hole in a mountain. It's an expression. It's not easy to make a hole in a mountain, right? But let it make a hole in the mountain. It could be so hard to do that it's the equivalent thereof. Afilu hachi, go along with it. Chenemar, the pasuk says, ki amishpat le'lekim hu. And as a result, you can't circumvent, you can't bypass. V'chein Moshe hayoim. And this is what Moshe Rabbeinu used to say. So when people used to bring a shout to Moshe Rabbeinu, he would say, yikoy v'adin asahar. Aval aharin. Aharin HaKoyin had a different midah. He was oyev shalom, v'roidev shalom, u'mesim shalom bein adam l'chaveru. Chenemar, the pasuk says, teira semes hoise b'fiyu. So this was the madrega of Aharon HaKohen. He was an Oyev Shalom, V'Roid of Shalom. What did he do? He didn't say Yikov Adin Sahar. Listen, it is what it is. Not so gishmak sometimes. It could be painful following the law, but we're going to do that. Aharon said no. Aharon was an Oyev Shalom, V'Roid of Shalom, Oyev Sabrius. This was his midah, and this was the way he went about this. Now, this is the first of the Tanoim mentioned in this price, which is really the second sheet. Reb Eliezer ben Yosef Yisak Lili Yoimer, not Mutter Lev Tzaya, but rather Aser Lev Tzaya. It's actually Aser, and the Pasuk that says, U'baytzeya Berech Nietz Hashem, is referring to somebody that gives brachas to someone that's a Baytzeya. And then in the same breath, let's just read the Gemara. Reb Eliezer ben Yosef Yisak Lili said that was Moshe Rabbeinu's Midah. He said, Yikov Adin Asahar, Abaharon HaKohen, oh, he used to be Baytzeya. Frank Toysfus, how do you even read Rebbe Eliezer ben Yosef Yisak Lili? If it's Asal of Tzaya, and that's Midas Hashem Moshe Rabbeinu, so how can Aharon HaKohen be different? So look at Toysfus, Dibra HaMaskel, Aval Aharon. Pirish, Kivin, Shalaiho Yadayin. Being that Aharon wasn't a dayin, V'leihoyo had din balafanov, and the din was not presented to him. Elo lefnei Moshe, v'adolidei shari. So for him, it's going to be okay. So I saw that Rav Reuven Margolis in his Sefer Shari Zoyer, could be says in Margolis, yeah, also, but I didn't see it there. I saw it in, I look quickly, in Shari Zoyer. So Shari Zoyer is Rav Reuven Margolis' Sefer, where he goes through Nigla, literally, not just Talmud Bavli, Bavli Yerushalmi, all the Midrashim, and he compares and contrasts to what the opinion of Pnimius HaTorah and Torah HaSoidis. So he says that Tosfos says from the Gemara in Sanhedrin Vav Amud Beis that Aharon HaKohen is Nishkevein Adayin in Raya Mehemna in Parshas Vayikra Dav Chof Amen Aleph. It says beforeish not that way that Moshe Rabbeinu was a Adayin. He was the Av Bezdin of the Sanhedrin Gedolah, and Aharon HaKohen was also a Adayin. He was the Av Bezdin of the Sanhedrin Ketanis. This is a classic example where there's a disconnect between the Nigla, the way Tosfos understands it, and the Nisla. But he says, I have one problem because I found it's a Nigla also. This is Rabbi Reuven Margolis Lashitase, Vashiva Shev Taich Kabarishoin is a Moshe Vaharin. So he says, this Toysfus at first glance is Keneged Kamu Mamori Chazal Ayin Shom. But regardless, says Toysfus, that's the Eitz. The Eitz is that Moshe Rabbeinu was not a dying. So because Moshe Rabbeinu was a dying, he doesn't have the right to make any compromise. But if Aharon HaKohen wants to make compromises, he could. Rabbi Eliezer, Oimer, this is a digression. So we just mentioned the Pasuk Baitseya. Beirech Nietz Hashem. So the Tosefta brings another opinion on what pshat in that price is. Harisha goes saw shalchit, and if somebody would steal a saw of wheat, v'tochen he would grind it before he would bake it. Now he's going to have rachos challah. Tell me how Should he make a bracha? Right? What bracha do you make? You're a Gazlan. What bracha? Ain't zem avarech. It doesn't matter what bracha you make. It's not a bracha. Elam minait. What you're doing is you're being mecharef from a god. If alzen neman, it's regarding this that the pasuk says. Uboitzeya beirech nietz Hashem. Boitzeya means to be a Gazlan. In fact, if you look at the Rishonim in Tehillim, just Pashup Shad, in terms of the Pshutei Shal Mikra, they all teach it, Miloshin Gzelos. Rabbi Eliezer said, Pshad in this Pasuk is not Boitzeya as in a compromiser, but rather, a Boitzeya is what we think it means. It's like Rameo, and Rameo said a third Pshad. He said, Loinemar Boitzeya, Elo Keneged Yehuda, that the Boitzeya of this pasuk in Tehillim is referring to none other than Yehuda. Last week's parsha, Shenema, the pasuk says, Yehuda told his brothers, "What are we going to gain by killing our brother?" And if that's the case, you know what the pasuk is saying? That if somebody gives blessings to Yehuda, why would he give blessings to Yehuda? Yehuda seems like he saved Yosef HaTzadik's life. He's wrong. Meaning, Yehuda saved Yosef HaTzadik's life. So you could see that maybe you would want to bench him. A bezok de gemara nei, that any person that benches him is a menait. And the reason is, because once Yehuda saw, Rashi says, that they were listening to him, the brothers, so he should have already, you know, gone for the kill. And he should have said, one second, you're listening to me? You know what, maybe this is a mistake. Maybe we shouldn't even sell him. And from the fact that he didn't do more, that's why he doesn't deserve to be benched. And anyone that benches Yehuda, Boitzeya Beirech, is Nietz Hashem. The Marsha says that what Yehuda did was really a compromise. Meaning, according to this, what's the Lashon Boitzeya? So Pasha is just a play on words, a Mabetza. But no, the truth is there was an element of compromise. Why? Because the two extreme options would have been do nothing or kill him. This was the compromise. So in this Pshat of Boitzeya, you can learn like the first Pshat that it means to compromise. And it's referring to Yehuda. Rabbi Shmuel and Karach Haim, going back to our regular topic, so you have to hold up with all these digressions. It's not so easy to follow the paper trail here. But going back to the topic of the Braisa, which is compromise. Good thing, bad thing. So far we have how many shitas? Two shitas. Right, the first shita is a little unclear. It's more implied. Nigmar Adin Iyata Rashoi Levtzoi. As I say, matters before the Gemara Adin Rashoi, we have Rabbi Lezim Leishol Esag Lili who said also Levtzoi. The third shita is Rabbi Shuvan Karach. I'm a mitzvah Levtzoi. It's a mitzvah. Shenema, the pasuk says, Emes Umishpait Shalom Shiftu B'sharech. Now, said Rabbi Shua ben Karcha, how do you understand this pasuk? It's a pasuk in Scharia, by the way. Halei b'makom she'esh mishpat ein shalim, u'b'makom she'esh shalim ein mishpat. Right, mishpat and shalim are almost antitheses, they're nemesis of each other. If you're going to follow the rule, probably the chevra are not going to be so happy with each other. And if you're going to try to make shalim, it's going to come at the expense of mishpat. Said Rabbi Shua ben Karcha, lezeu mishpat she'esh by shalim, ha'vi'am is ha'bitzua. Bitzua. Because by Bitsua, everybody's happy. They agreed on it. They shook hands on it. They decided that it's not worth the risk of trying to figure out how the Eonim are going to come out. Came to some sort of negotiation, some sort of resolution. So it's Mishpat because it's working with a Mahalacha Mishpat. But at the same time, there's also Shalom. So he said Mitzvah Lipsaya because you see, there's a Pasuk in Zechariah, one of the Messianic Psukim that talk about such an Inyan. So obviously, it's a good thing. He continued and he said, V'chein B'David. I mean, you find by David HaMelech, David HaMelech was also a Dayan. And the Pasuk says, Vayhi David Oisem Mishpat Utztaka. So said, Rabbi Shua ben Karcha, he did Mishpat Utztaka? It's a stira. Vayhi Kamakam Sheish Mishpat Ein Tztaka. Utztaka Ein Mishpat. Ela, Yisrael Mishpat Sheish Bait Tztaka. What's an example of Mishpat that has Tztaka? Hevi Yoimer Zebitzua. Says the Gemara. We interrupt the Braisa with two words. Asan Latanakama. So this is interesting. Second time we're interrupting the Braisa. Asan Latan, first time with the Simen. Second time with the words Asan Latanakama, which means that what we're about to say now is Asan Latanakama. It's going to the Tanakama. Okay, what are we about to say? Donis Adin, Zika Zazakai, Chayev Esachayev. Let's say there was a Dain who passed in the Shai. Virosh and Eschayev Oni Mamoin. And he saw that the Oni was Chayev Mamoin. Veshilem Loi Mitoich Beisoi. And he paid from himself. Zem Mishpat Utztaka. This is Mishpat Utztaka. Mishpat Lo Zeh utstak olaze mishpat olaze to the one person shehechzalei mamoin because he returned in his mana vitstak olaze sheshimam betaych beisa because he paid out of his pocket. So the following is asim latanakama. If there's a dayan and he's paskin gashayla and he realized that one guy is going to end up losing out as nebuchadnezzar man and he goes out of his own pocket and he pays him, that's an example of mishpat utstak. It's mishpat because he paskin gashayla and the person that's supposed to win won, but it's also tzedakah. So this, the Gemara interrupted and said, it's asim l'tanakama. So we need Rashi. Rashi says the Tanakama over here is not the Tanakama Kama. It's not the first sheet. It's actually the second sheet. The second sheet, the holds asim l'tzaya. And what the Brisa is saying is, if you hold asim l'tzaya, what are you going to do with David HaMelech? What are you going to do with the Pasuk in Zechariah? It says stoko mishpat. Stoko mishpat is the chastira. Sholem mishpat. And they're a contradiction. If you hold mitzvah of tzaya, oh, givaldik. But if you hold asal of, now, if you hold mutal of tzaya, it's also not a kasha. But if you hold asal of tzaya, so how are you going to give zechanetzna? So asal of tanakama, zakrashi. Tanakama da asal of tzaya, yena tanakama. That holds asal of tzaya, the way he's going to taish tzedakah u'mishpat is that what did David HaMelech do? He didn't make pshara, but he used to pay out of his own pocket. If you ever saw somebody was going to walk out, chayev bidin, says the Gemara, kasha le Rebbe. Rebbe had a kasha on this last pshat. That a pshat and David he had a problem because it says that he did stoku mishpat l'chol amoy. And according to this pshat, he didn't give it to everybody. It was only for the needy, right? It was only for people that needed it. What it should have said was, aniyim elos. Rebbe went with a similar pshat, but a little bit different. What he said was, even though he was l'shilim b'teich beisai, and he did mishpat. Why mishpat? Because asal of tzaya, abizneu mishpat utzdaka. It's still considered mishpat utzdaka. Mishpat lezeh, utzdaka lezeh. How so? Mishpat lezeh, shich salem imaynai. It's a mishpat lezeh, because he returned him his money. Utzdaka lezeh, shahoytzi gzeila mitachas yadai. Person walks out of din, he thinks he lost, he didn't lose out. Because if he ends up giving away the money that he's supposed to give, so the Eibishter was moitzi gzeila mitach yadai, it's a grois utzdaka, it's a nitzchistig utzdaka. And as a result, even if you hold asal of tzaya, that's the way you can make sense of what it means that David HaMelech did stoko mishpat. So we have three pshatim of what it means. David HaMelech did stoko mishpat. It's a stira. If you hold mitzvah of tzaya, gevaldik. Or even if you hold mutal of tzaya. What he did was pshara. If, however, you hold asal of tzaya, so either it's going to mean that if there was an arman, he would pay out of pocket, he would make the person whole, or das alein that he was moitzi the gzela from the person that wasn't supposed to be the winner, that in of itself would be enough. So the bottom line is, how many shittas we have so far as it relates to pshara? Three, which feels like the maximum amount of shittas you can possibly have. It's mutter, it's a mitzvah, or it's aser, right? Tanakama holds mutter. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yisrael Reis Aglili said it's aser, and Rabbi Shua ben Karcha said it's a mitzvah. The brisa continues and says Rabbi Shimon ben Menas is one long brisa. Shimon ben Menas, he said, Shnayim shabon lefenach l'din, if two dayanim come to you for din, not two dayanim, two bali din, two people come for a din, actually tishma devreim, before you hear what they have to say, oy misha tishma devreim, or once you hear what they have to say, and you don't really know what direction this din is blowing in, you have a right to tell them to ubitsu, maybe make a pshara. But once you hear what they have to say, and you know already in what direction it's going, at that point, you have no right to tell them, go make a pshara. So Rav Shimon Manasseh said that until you hear what the Chevra have to say, then if you want, you can tell them to go ahead and do a bitzua. But once you hear what they have to say, or if you have an idea ready of where this is all shaking out, so at that point you don't have a right anymore to tell them, go ahead and do a pshar. Now the Gemara later on Zayin Amad Aleph is going to figure out, is Rav Shimon ben Manasseh a fourth shita? Is he one of the three aforementioned shitas? The Gemara is going to do the work. But first, Rav Shimon ben Manasseh backed up his position with a pasuk. Shenemar, the pasuk says, and this is a pasuk in Mishlei. Poiter mayim reishis madoin, v'lefnei hisgala hariv netosh. And the way we teach the pasuk is poiter mayim reishis madoin. So it's interesting. The Gemara teaches the second half of the drasha, not the first half. We need Rashi for that. Poiter mayim reishis madoin. In basa liftar ulahashlecha meriva hameshulik emayim. If you're going to try to get rid of the fight, which is compared to water, come on, as we'll see later in the daf, and to try to make peace, reishis madoin, You have to do this before you actually hear what's going on. Poiter mayim, if you want to get rid of the fight, it has to be reishis modin. It's before you hear the oilam out, before you really know this is going. This part the Gemara dashes. Koidim she niskala ariv, before it's niskala, what exactly is going on? If you want to recuse yourself, you can. Meaning, you want to say, let's make a pshara, that's something you can do. Abba mishin niskala ariv, once the riv is already out there. We heard opening arguments. You have an idea of where this is going. At that point, it's already too late. Rish Lakish, Rish Lakish said a similar drasha from this pasuk. Shnayim shebal ledin. If two people come for din, echad echad kasha. One is a soft person, the other one is a bolvan. Actually, tishma devrayim. Before you hear what they have to say, or if you heard what they had to say, but you don't really know where anything is going yet. You have a right to say, you know something? I don't want to have anything to do with this. Shemin is chayiv chazak, because maybe the strong guy is going to end up being chayiv. The nimta chazak roitfai, and he's going to try to kill me. And frankly, I'm not looking for that extra stress in my life. So if somebody says that, he can do that. But that's only before you really know what's going on. But once you hear what they have to say, and you also know where this is all going, at that point, it's already too late. Shenemar, because the pasuk says, loy Soguru mipnei ish. And from the words, loy soguru mipnei ish, you know this halacha. So what do you see in loy soguru mipnei ish? That you're not allowed to be afraid from someone that's very strong, but that's only true once you already committed yourself to it. But if you didn't commit yourself to it, at that point it's going to be okay. More on this note. How do you know that if a Talmud is sitting in front of his Rebbe, and he sees that the Ani is going to end up winning, the Asher is going to end up losing? How do you know that you shouldn't be quiet? Meaning, if you see that the Arman is going to win, the underdog, how do you know? Speak up for the underdog. Remember, the pasuk says, Loi saguru mipnei ish. What does this mean? Rab Chanan explained that you shouldn't keep your words in because of some powerful person that's going to end up being the loser in this situation. Again, continuing along with this digression, the Yu Edim Yoidim, the Edim should know as Mihem Ma'idin, who they are testifying about. In front of whom they're testifying. And if they do something corrupt, who's going to take revenge from them? Who is it? It's all HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When somebody says Eidus, he's really being made on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the reason is because if the wrong person ends up losing, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to have to make that person whole. So really, you're making Hashem go to work here in a way that he doesn't want to. We know the Eibishter is present in the courthouse. Obviously, that's a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Now, what's the makar to this? Shenema, the pasuk says, "Va'amdu shnei anoshim asher lohem ariv lifnei Hashem." Now, pasuk pshat in this pasuk, the shnei anoshim is referring to the bali dinim, but we darshan the pasuk as if the shnei anoshim is referring to the edim. By the way, this is not the only place where the Gemara does that. The Gemara right in the beginning of Perek Shavuos, the Eidus says, "Shavuos or Eidus noheges ba'anoshim v'lo benoshim." A woman is not able to say Eidus. How do we know it? Because it says Va'amdu shneyo anoshim. And even though it's the Bali Dinim, that's a very big Gemara that's learned out from the same drasha. But the bottom line is that it's all lifnei Hashem. The ganza mais lifnei Hashem, meaning you're testifying about Hashem in front of Hashem, and Hashem is going to be the one that's going to make everybody whole. For you are dayanim yoyin. The same is true for the dayanim. They also have to know es mihen donin v'lifnei mihen donin umi asili par mihen. Again, they're judging HaKadosh Baruch Hu in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take revenge in the event of Shenemar. It says, Elikim nitzav v'adaska v'chem v'yashofet hu oimer. Yashofet said the same thing. V'yomer l'ashoiftim re'u ma'atem oisim ki loy lo'odom tishpatu ki im l'ashem. You should realize, you think you're judging man, you're judging HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shema yomer adayim. Maybe the dayan is going to hear all this, and he's going to say, Mali v'tzar hazeh, you know something? Maybe I picked the wrong profession. Mali latzar azois. What am I getting myself involved in this inyan? Talmud loymar. The pasuk says, "V'imachem b'dvar mishpat ein loy ledayin ela masha ein avrois." Dayin doesn't have to be afraid. You have nothing to be afraid of. Just be erlich. As long as you're erlich, ein ledayin ela masha ein. You don't have to know what you don't know. You don't have to see what can't be seen. As long as you go about it in that way, everything is going to be okay. Says the Gemara on the topic of basically learning Gan Silchas Sanhedrin al Regalachas Hichidamig Mardin, right? We mentioned Gmardin already in today's daf. Papadu, Brysa, Nigmardin, Iyata, Rasha, Iloftsaya. So we've been talking about Gmardin. What is the definition of Gmardin? Amrav Yudam Arav, Ishploiniyata Chayiv, Ishploiniyata Zakai. Bottom line is, we have here a long Brysa, very long. The backdrop of the Brysa is three opinions as it relates to Pshara. The first opinion is Nigmardin, Iyata, Rasha, Iloftsaya, which implies that before the Gmardin it's Mutter. The second opinion is Rav Lezim Leishav Eisak, who said, Asu Loftsaya, Yikuv Adin Asahar, Kalabitzeya, Reza Choytev, Chamavar Chasabitzeya, Hareza Menayit, etc., etc. The third sheet is Rabbi Shua Ben Karcha, who said, Mitzvah, Loftsaya, and that's why you find this Indian of Tztaku, Mishpat, Emes Vishalim. They seem to be contradictions. The Teretz is, Pshara, Zokta Gemara, Om Rav Yudam Arav. Halacha, Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha. The halacha is like Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha. So who do we paskin like? Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha, who said, Mitzvah of Tzai. Freit Gemara, Eini, Varavhu no Talmidei, the Rav Havo. Rav Huna was a Talmud of Rav. Chabi also the Kami de Rav Huna. When people would come to Rav Huna, Amalu, this is what he would tell them. I dina ba'isu, I pshara ba'isu. If you want, I'll do a din. If you want, I'll do a pshara. What's the kasha? If Rav said that the halacha is like Rav Yeshua ben Karcha, that means Rav holds mitzvah of tzaya. And if that's the case, Rav Huna, who's talmidei the Rav, for sure would have gone in the mahalach of the Rebbe, and he would have also held mitzvah of tzaya. So why is he giving them options? You say, you want din, I'll do din. You want pshara, I'll do pshara. It doesn't sound optional. You're violating a mitzvah. If it's a mitzvah, it's a mitzvah. So the Gemara says, my mitzvah nami, the Rav Yeshua ben Karcha. What did Rav Yeshua ben Karcha mean when he said mitzvah? He meant mitzvah lememrulahu. It's a mitzvah to tell them, idina ba'isu, ipshara ba'isu. It's a mitzvah to say those words. Meaning, it's a mitzvah to give them the option. But enochinami, not a mitzvah to do pshara to the extent that they want it. Says the Gemara, hainu tanakama. So if that's the case, isn't that Tanakama? Which Tanakama? Tanakama as in the real Tanakama, the Tanakama Kama. The Tanakama of the beginning of the Braisa that seemed to say Nigmar Adin Iyato Rashoy Lov Tzoy, but before that it's a Rishos. Oh, so if Rav Yeshua ben Karcha really holds it's Rishos, it's just mitzvah to tell them, so isn't that the Tanakama? The Gemara says, no, it could be Nayu Mitzvah. This is the Nafkamina. According to Rav Yeshua ben Karcha, it's a mitzvah to offer up the option, and according to the Tanakama, it's all one big Rishos. Rav Yeshua ben Karcha Sava Mitzvah. Tanakama Sava Rishos. Says the Gemara, Hainu de Rav Shimon ben Menasya. Okay. Isn't that Rav Shimon ben Menasya? So who is Rav Shimon ben Menasya? Rav Shimon ben Menasya was the fourth shita that was mentioned, that we said that the Gemara is going to circle back and explain a little bit better what exactly Rav Shimon ben Menasya meant. What did Rav Shimon ben Menasya say? It was the first wide line on the Avav Amibes. Shnaim Shabon Gufanecha Ledin, Anshalei Tishma Devreim, Oymashe Tishma Devreim, V'yato Yadei Lehechem Din Noita, Atarash Shoye Lehem Tzu Ubitzu. But once you hear what they have to say, you have no right anymore to tell them Tzu Ubitzu. So says the Gemara, isn't the Tanakama Rav Shimon ben Menasya, meaning they both seem to be saying that there's a Rishos. So the Gemara says, "Ikebeinayu mishetishma divreyem va'ato yoidei lehechad adin noita iato rashoy loy melam tzuubit." So where Rav Shimon ben Menasya was being mechadish was it's a rishus, the etzim inyan of bitzua. But at the same time, this was his big niche, that once you know how this thing is playing, Tanakama said nigmar adin. He's saying that even before that, once you know where this is going, at that point you have to walk away, says the Gemara. Upliga the Rab Tanchum Barchani Loi. The mamish half cup here with the paper trail. What's upliga? All the different pshatim, ready, that the Gemara said in the Braisa, as it relates to the pasuk of Ubeitzeya Beirech Nietz Hashem. How many pshatim did we have? The Beitzeya is the compromiser. The Beitzeya is the gazlan that's being mafresh chala, and he goes to the Rav. What bracha do I make? Machsh kam bracha, right? It's a bracha levatol. Don't make a bracha. But all the kavanas, it's going to be a bracha levatol. The third pshat we had was Yehuda. Yehuda said, Ma betza. He, if you would bench him for saving Yosef HaTzadik's life, it's not a good bracha. All these pshatim is not like a fourth pshat. And this fourth pshat was said by Rab Tanchun Bar Chaniloi. Om Rab Tanchun Bar Chaniloi, Loi Nema Mikra Zeh Elikin Egen Maiso Egel. This pasuk is referring to the Maiso Egel, and this next gemara that we're going to learn is going to be the topic of the rage. Shenema the pasuk says, Vayara Haroin Vayivim Mizbeach Lefana. So Aharon HaKohen, we know, built the Mizbeach. We know Aharon HaKohen's role in the Chet Egel. What prompted Aharon HaKohen to do what he did? So the pasuk says he saw something. Vayara haroin, vayivim mizbeach. But doesn't say what he saw. So the Gemara says, Maro, what did he see? It's ikur chaser from the pasuk. Amar Rabin Yamin bar Yefes. Amar Rabbi Loza, ro chur shezavoch lefano. He saw chur, who was geshachten. Chur was a big tzaddik. He put a fight up against the yidden that wanted to worship the ego or wanted to do something, and he was killed. So he realized that this is a problem. Why? Amar, he said, "Eloi shamanu luhashto." If I'm not going to listen to them now, avdu li, they're going to do to me kida avdu bechor what they did to chor umekayim bi, and they'll be mekayim the pasuk in yaharik ben mikdash Hashem koyim v'navi. And this pasuk is a very, very scary pasuk. It's a pasuk in Eicha. But Aharon HaKohen understood that if this would happen, there would never be a takan. So if they're going to kill me, they'll be mekayim the pasuk of im yaharik ben mikdash Hashem koyim v'navi. So Rashi says, what's the cheshbon? The cheshbon is because Aharon HaKohen was a koyim and a navi. Meaning, it's not the pshat that chor was, I guess, a Navi and Aharon is the Kohen, right? That's probably the way you would think it if you didn't look at Rashi. But Rashi says, no, it means Aharon himself is the Kohen and the Navi. And just by killing him, which is probably what's going to happen, because they'll kill me the way they killed Chor, that's how it's going to play itself out. There is a Medrash that says, the more Pashup Shah, that Chor is the Navi and Aharon is the Kohen. And Aharon says, they're going to kill me. Between me and Chor, it's going to end up being Kohen and the Navi. There's another problem, and that is, was Aharon a Kohen yet? Aaron's not a Kohen yet. There was no such thing as Kohanim yet. Right? That's something that's going to happen later. But either way, Sam Yahari ben Mikdash Hashem Kohen v'Navi, this is what he was worried about. So what did he say? Let me go. Let me make an ego. Let's see if I can buy some time. Efsher havalu takanta b'tshuva, like this, maybe there is going to be a little bit of hope. Okay. So what does this have to do with the pasuk of Beitzeah Beirech Nietz Hashem? So Rashi says that what this has to do with that is that if somebody goes ahead and somebody gives brachas to Aharon HaKohen, Aharon also was a little bit of a making a pshara, right? What was the pshara? He was Moira Heter. That's what Rashi says. So this was some sort of compromise. So if somebody's going to bench Aharon for his role in the Cheto Ego, I say he saved Klai Yisrael maybe. Ein ze mevarech Elaminites, Zok the Gemara. We're not finished yet. Vahani Tanoi, Poitim Mayim Rishis Modoin, Mai Darshibahu. So the Gemara had brought the Pasik, Poitim Mayim Rishis Modoin. Who brought it? Reb Shimon ben Manasseh. Why did he bring it? He brought it as the Makar that Mutal of Tzaya, but only before you hear what the Balidinim have to say. Once you hear what the Balidinim have to say, at that point, you can't do this anymore. That's what he darshed from the pasuk poitem mayim reishis man. So the Gemara says the other tanon that are chaylik with Rabbi Shimon and Manasseh. So what do they do with this pasuk? So the Gemara says that they use it kider Rav Hamnuna. The Rav Hamnuna uses it. Amar Rav Hamnuna. Rav Hamnuna said something quite famous. Ein tchilas dinoi shel adam nidoin el adav etar. The first thing that a person is going to be asked nochindet and tzvansik is whether or not the person was koivei itim latayra. Ain tchilas dinay shaladim nidoin ela divrei Torah. And you know how he knew it? He knew it from this pasuk. Shenema, the pasuk says, poiter mayin reishis modon. Rashi says that poiter mayin, someone that patters himself from learning, comes up with excuses not to learn, reishis man. That's the first thing he's going to get clipped for in the next world. Amar Rav Huna. Rav Huna said, so we referred in this pasuk of poiter mayin reishis modon to a meriva, a fight as water. So if you remember, Rashi said that kiddala kamon on Dav Zayin Amar Aleph, we didn't realize we'd get this far, but kiddala kamon on Dav Zayin Amar Aleph, we're going to see what mayim has to do with a meriva. This is the place. So Rav Huna said, Hay tigra de maya litzinura de bitka damya. What does this mean? So Rashi says like this, that if you want a hay tigra damya litzinura de bitka damya, that's the way you read it. Hai tigra damya litzinura de bitka damaya. One is damya and the other one is damaya. It's a Mishnah Yoyt says. So how do you come up with that? So Rashi says that sometimes when a river overflows, so it could turn into a tsunami, what you need to do is you have to nip it in the bud really quickly. Otherwise, it could be a problem. The same thing as a machloikis. A machloikis, when it starts off, sometimes it gets, but sometimes it takes off a life, takes on a life of its own. You don't even remember what you're fighting about. And that's this comparison, machloikis to mayim, because, you know, a flow of water, when it's small, so you can contain it. But if it gets out of control at that point,
you won't be able to anymore. Abaya Amar, Abaya Keshisha Amar, Domi Laguda de Gamlo.
Keeping the come, that if you want to know what Machloikis is comparable to, I hear the analogy of water, I'll give you another one. So, Guda de Gamlo is referring to the plank of a bridge. So, if you have a new bridge, so when you walk on it the first several times, so the planks are going to be a little bit shaky. But with time, kivan to come, that's what machlokes is. Machlokes, initially, it's fickle. Meaning, if you want to knock it out, you can knock it out. But once it gets a little bit of too much momentum, at that point, it's going to be too late. Either way, we just covered a lot of ground. Welcome to Sanhedrin. And we are going to stop here. So just two ha'aris as it relates to the last part of the daf. And that is that the Gemara was darshaning a pasuk in Tehillim. And the Gemara had several suggestions what this pasuk is referring to. The fourth suggestion that the Gemara brought was Rab Tanchem Bar Chani Loi. Loi nema mikra zeh elo keneged maiso egel. This pasuk is referring to the maiso egel. And the background is Vayara Haroin Vayivein Mizbeach Lefanov. Aharon HaKohen saw something, and that's when he went and built the Mizbeach, and he played his critical role in the Chet Egel. And the Gemara says, Ma'ra, what did he see? So Chazal say, Roh Chur Shnezavuach Lefanov. He saw that Chur, the great Tzaddik, was murdered. He was literally assassinated. Omar, he said, Eloi Shamanalu, if I'm not going to listen to them, they're going to end up doing to me what they did to Chur. They'll be Mekayim the Pasukim Yeharim Gemikdash Hashem Kohen V'Navi V'Loi Havalu Takanta Lo'olam. Let me make the Egel like this. Efsher Havalu Takanta B'Tshuva. Maybe there's going to be a chance. Maybe they're going to be able to do Tshuva. So says the Gemara, any person that goes and he benches Aharon HaKohen for what he did, Ein Zeh Mevarich El Menayitz. Because what Aharon HaKohen did was wrong. And really, you walk away from this Gemara in Sanhedrin Dav Zayin Amud Aleph, there seems to be no other way. But to say that Aharon HaKohen on some level was guilty of playing a role in the Chet HaEgel. If somebody tries finding a silver lining, Ein Zeh Mevarich El Menayitz, David HaMelech came lafuke that. According to one shita. But the bottom line is, as it relates to Aharon HaKohen's role in the Chet HaEgel, it seems to be that on some level he aided and abetted what it is that played itself out. Stating that, and we've mentioned this in the past, in the Torah from the Hilge Chassam Sofer, the Chassam Sofer saw it very, very differently. The Chassam Sofer throughout his forum says that the greatest act of Mesiris Nefesh in the history of the world, from Bereshis Bar Lekim, that Bias Goyal Tzadik, Meir B'Yemeinu, Amen V'Amen, was the role that Aharon HaKohen played in the Chet HaEgel. He said Aharon HaKohen had no intention of really being complicit in the Avodah Zarah of the Egel, but he made a cheshbon, like the Gemara said, what's going to be if they kill me? Then there's going to be no hope. If they do the Chet HaEgel, but I stay alive, Efshar, Tahavlu Takanta B'Tshuva. So he went ahead to the Aharon HaKohen and he said, I'm going to play a role in the Chet HaEgel, which meant he's going to be over the Avodah Zarah, which meant that on some level he's going to be chayiv the oynish, the chorus, or whatever it is of the person that's over Avodah Zarah. Says the Chassam Sofer, why did Aharon HaKohen do it? He did it to save Klal Yisrael. Says the greatest act of Mesiris Nefesh in the world. Chassam Sofer says, you know, you talk about someone that's Moisa Nefesh. What do you mean to be Moisa Nefesh? You learn when you have no kayach to learn. You get out of bed when you're too tired. You have a lot of things going on and you figure out a way to block out all the noise and you have different nesioinis. Mesiris Nefesh, a Yid lives with Mesir. Every Yid in the world lives with Mesiris Nefesh. There's nothing to talk about. He said, but what's the Mesiris Nefesh? You're giving up from your goof. You're giving up from your ability maybe to enjoy the pleasures and the temptations of the world. He said, it's unbelievable. It's not shy. That's what we talk about, the Indian of Mesiris Nefesh, as if it's the greatest thing that a person could do. But since there's one thing greater than a person being willing to give up from his guf for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that is being willing to give up your nefesh for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It says if a person gives up his guf, okay, you may shnoi seinu behem shivim shana vim begvurish shmoinim shana 100, 120, you gave that up for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you jumped into a fire like the Yidden that a Kedoshim did throughout the Doiris. It's not Shayach. It's unbelievable. But there's one thing even greater, and that is if a person's willing to give up his Nitzchias, and he's giving up his Nitzchias for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's the greatest act of Mesiris Nefesh imaginable. Nefesh as in not his guf. Nefesh as in his real nefesh. Nefesh as in his neshama. And he said when Aharon HaKohen went, and Aharon HaKohen played his role in the Chet HaEgel, he was being Moisa Nefesh. Because as far as he knew, what he was about to do was And what he was about to do was something very, very terrible, right? In halacha, there's no cheshbon in the world that what Aharon HaKohen is doing is right. Norvas, efshelahavelu takanta. See, he's going to give himself up for Klai Yisrael to have a takana. That's the greatest act of Mesiris Nefesh. It's the greatest act of petuche choysim that a person could possibly do. He's giving up his whole ruchnius, his whole osid, his whole olam haba. Why? To save Klai Yisrael. Says the Chassam Sofer, this goes down as the greatest act of Mesiris Nefesh in the world. And he says, that's what you find throughout the Torah, every time Moshe Rabbeinu comes to Aharon and he tells him, come, right, do the avoid. Aharon was always afraid because he understood his role. But what did Eibush to tell him? No. L'kach nevcharta. And in the Beis Medrash of the Chassam Sofer, we mentioned this so many times. L'kach nevcharta, precisely because of your great act of Mesiris Nefesh. It's because of what you did. It's because of what you did. It's for that reason, it's okay. So I looked up this Chassam Sofer again. Obviously, this is Dover B'itay Matoiv in terms of Sanhedrin Dav Zayin Amid Aleph. But there was one thing that bothered me. The Gemara says, Ein Zeh Mevarich Elo Menayit. Isn't the Gemara Gufa coming Lafuke the Heilige Chassam Sofer? I think it's a little bit of a Pella. Chassam Sofer doesn't bavarnik. I mean, the Torah is not Shaykh, it's fire. But at the same time, it's Mamish Kenega the Gemara. Right? The Gemara says, Ein Zeh Mevarich Elo Menayit. As if you might try to find the silver lining, and you're going to... Whatever that shtickle Torah is, Ein Zeh Mevarich Elo Menayit. No, so sometimes there could be a disconnect between Torah HaNigla and Torah HaSoid. So maybe in Pnimiyas, Darshei Rishumo, you say that even, right, Achav has a Chelek in Olam Haba. There's such an Indian. We know that. Ki Yidua, Torah Ishbitz, and Torah Reb Tzadik, Vadvar Matikin. That's the Mahalach over here? Is that the Mahalach? But I'll just tell you one interesting thing. Maybe this is a little bit of a tzushtel. And that is, one of the other pshatim that the Gemara said in terms of understanding, Ein Zeh Mevarich Elo Menayit, who it's referring to, is referring to Yehuda. Yehuda said, Ma Betza, Ki Narag Yasachenu, and the Gemara said, you would have a Havamino, then maybe you should go and you should bench Yehuda. Ein Zeh Mevarich Elo Menayit. Which means that Yehuda comes out of this sugya also not looking so good. Because even if you want to find the silver lining in Yehuda, at the end of the day, it all worked out. It played itself out good. He saved Yosef HaTzadik's life. Stating that, if you take a look at the Marsha, it's a very long Marsha here in Chedushei Agadas. Marsha asks a whole bunch of kashas. It brings kashas that the Rishonim ask, brings kashas that the Achronim ask. A lot of dikdukim in the Gemara, it's beyond the scope of what we're able to do in the allotted time that we have. But I ain't Shom b'Marsha. So I'm going to the end of the Marsha, says the Marsha, V'lulei perusham hoya nira lefarish. He says, we're not for what all the Rishonim and the early Achronim said. I have a different mahalach in the sugya. I think that when the Pasuk says, U'baitzeya beirech nietz Hashem, I think it's l'shvach. I think the Gemara means to say that you have to praise Yehuda. You have to give him all the accolades in the world. The hochenami l'shvach Yehuda kamar. U'mevarech b'mokim zeh. And according to that pshat in the Gemara, when it says mevarech, zehu b'mokim klol avigiduf. The word mevarech doesn't mean bench. It means fakek. It means klol avigiduf. K'may, you find the pasuk says beirach novois elokim v'melech. It's a pasuk in Melachim Aleph, Perek Chav Aleph, pasuk Yud Gimel. V'zehu shamar kol mevarech es Yehuda. U'migad foy alzois. Shamar ma betza ki naroig. You're being menayit Hashem. She Yehuda kavanosei l'shem shamayim hoya. She yechoshesh lo yiyu echov shoymen loy bedavar zeh lachzir la'aviv. V'zeh she'amar, he says, you want to know the oymik? That what are you doing? You're being menayit Hashem. Why being menayit Hashem? You're talking about Yehuda. That's one of the kashas that the Marshal mutches with a little bit. You be minayit Hashem ki shem Yehuda. We know the name Yehuda is nikra kuloy al shmoy shal kadosh baruch hu. K'mo yishamru besoyte daf yud al shekide shem shemayim befarhesya. V'suloy midi. I don't think I have to say one more word, says the Marshal. I think everybody got this Gemara wrong. When the Gemara says baitzeya beirech, it doesn't mean that if somebody goes and it gives him a bracha, no, fakert. It's miloshin mevarech es Hashem. Beirach novois alekim v'melech. If someone is mekalo, if someone's megadif Yehuda, ein zem mevarech, you should know he's making a toys. Because you know what you're doing, you're being menayitz to Shmoy Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because Yehuda's name goes down as Yehuda l'dayros. Why? Because the Shem Shamayim, the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is in the name Yehuda. So if someone's going to go ahead and he's going to say, Yehuda, oh, it's such a terrible thing that he did. You know what you're doing, you're being menayitz Hashem. the shame Avaya was licked in the name of Yehuda. This is what the Marshal said. If the Marshal said it about Yehuda, I guess Lule de Mistafina, we could say it as it relates to Aharon HaKoyin as well. It's a Marshal, Mamish on this Gemara. He holds his Pash Pshan in the Gemara. The Pel, he's Mamish what he holds. He holds his Pash Pshan in the Gemara. Maybe it's a Tushnel to this Hevel Gechsam Soifa, and that's the first order. The second order is, so the Gemara talks about Chor. I have a trick question. Who was Chor? Who exactly was Chor? So we know Rashi says in Chumash, he was the son of Miriam. Another place, Rashi says in Chumash, he was also the son of Miriam and Kalev. There's two Rashis in Chumash. In one place, Rashi says Benosha Miriam. And the other place, Rashi adds that Chor is the son of Miriam, and Chor is also the son of Kalev. It's interesting that Chor is really only mentioned twice in the Torah. And the two times that he's mentioned, he's given tremendous prominence. The first time is in the end of Parshas Beshalach. The pasuk says, "Vayomer Moshe el Yehoshua, p'char lanu anoshim, v'yitzei hilochim ba'amalek. Go fight a war against Amalek. Machar tomorrow anoichin nitzav al roish ha'giva, u'mate ho'elikim b'yadi. Vayas Yeshua kasha amalek Moshe l'ilochim ba'amalek. U'moshe aharoin v'chur olu l'roish ha'giva." So Moshe Rabbeinu, Aharon HaKoyen, and a man named Chor, they go to the top of the mountain. And the pasuk says, "Vayikasha yorim Moshe yodei v'gavri Yisrael, v'kasha yoniach yodei v'gavri Amalek, v'dei Moshe kveidim, v'yikhu ever v'yasim v'tachtav, v'yishba, v'harim v'chur tamtu v'yodim, mizeh ever v'zeh." So Aharon HaKoyen is holding up one of Moshe's hands, Chor is holding up his other hand. This is the first time the Torah mentions this Yid by the name of Chor. The second time is an equally as prominent place. And the Parashas Mishpatim, after the Torah. So the Pasuk says, "Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, ale elai ha'hara, v'heyei sham, v'edna l'cha esluchai so even, v'hatoira, v'hamitzvah, asher kosavti l'hoirois, v'yokum Moshe v'yohishua m'sharsai, v'yal Moshe el haro Elohim. V'laskeinim amar, shvu lanu bazeh, ad asher noshav aleichem, v'hinei." Any questions that anyone's going to ask? Aharon v'chur imochem. Ask it to Aharon and Chor. Mi bal dvarim yigash aleh. So Chor is in the same conversation as Moshe and Aharon. It's Moshe, Aharon, v'chur. Literally. Milchemes Amalek. Moshe Rabbeinu is going up to Mekabel Luchos. You know, after this pasuk, Chor is never heard from again. He's never heard from again. The Marsha and our Gemara says, I hold. That's how Chazal knew that Chor was killed by the story of the Chet Ego. Vayar Aharon. What did Aharon see? Says the Gemara, Am Rabbi Yom Ha'yavis, Am Rabbi Lazna, Ra Chor Shezabuach Lefanov. He saw Chor was geshachted. How did Chazal know that Chor was killed? Mechatesi. Where did this even come from? Says the Marsha, it's posh to me, because Chor is on fast track. Chor is this young prodigy who it looks like is going to become very, very famous. And you're going to probably hear so much about him throughout the Torah. Yet, after this Maisa, Mehernish Fenein, he never does another thing. Said the Marsha Chazal Shpar, must be something happened to him. What happened to him? He's probably the one that was killed. It was probably his death that triggered Aharon. Made perfect sense. Aharon and Chor. So if they killed Chor, oh, they're probably going to kill me. And that's what caused Aharon to get involved in the Chet Egel. So says the Marsha, you want to know, it's right around Agamar. How did Chazal know that Chor was killed? It's because here we start off, Chor has such a promising career. And then, all of a sudden, you never hear from Chor again. But the truth is that what we're saying is a little bit of a misnomer. It's not true. Chor is heard from again. In Parshas Vayakel, Bezalel ben Uri ben Chor is the one that built the Mishkan. And the Chasam Sofer, in so many places in his Torah Moshe, he says, Adover Niflo, I'm going to end with this Hergish. And that is, Chor was Moisen Nefesh for Klal Yisrael. He was Moisen Nefesh. He tried saving the nation. He tried getting in the way of the Jews. Don't go and build the Egel. And he got killed. And he was never heard from again. You know, you would think that if Chor was never heard from again, so okay, that's a career that, you know, could have, would have, should have been. But, you know, sometimes things like that happen. But Tzedek Sam Soifer, the Ebesh, the Blight, and the Shultik. And because of the fact that Chor went, and Chor was Moise Nefesh, so Chor was repaid. You know where he was repaid? With an enakel. He had an enakel, Bezalel ben Uri ben Chor. And the Chasam Sofer says, Hagaba Atzmecha. Bezalel was 13 years old when he built the Mishkan. And Chazal say, Yoideya hoya Bezalel letzarev chav beis oisir shaboy nivru shamayim varez. So the Chasam Sofer says, I'm asking you, where did this kid come from? You ever saw a 13-year-old kid that Yoideya letzarev chav beis oisir? Where did he come from, Poshet? As a chiddush for a mensch. That's what Chassam Sofer says. The Teretz says he was the Matan Tzchar for Chor. He was born on top of the mountain, literally, where Chor was. He came from Chor. He was literally a toitzah of the Mesiris Nefesh of Chor. While the Evish the Blight in the Shuldig, and Oib Sado Achor, then if ultimately something's going to come from it, and it's not going to go to waste. You never heard from Chor, that's true. And through that Enochel, because his grandson is this superstar, Bezalel, who knew things that even Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know. And he was the one that was able to go ahead, and he was able to build the Mishkan. You know, one of the places that the Chassam Sofer says is Hergish. I mean, sometimes, like, the things that the Chassam Sofer says, Derech Agav, are just staggering. He says it in Parshas Beshalach. The Pasuk says, Vatikach Miriam Hanavia Achoy Saharin as Atoy Piyoda, Vatkeitzen Okol Anoshmacher. Listen to this Chassam Sofer. It's not Shaykh what he says. Because everyone knows that the men were involved in the Chet Egel. The women not, right? They didn't want to give the jewelry. The women didn't play a role. He says, why not? He says, because who was the leader of the men? It was Moshe Rabbeinu. Who was the leader of the women? Miriam. Moshe Rabbeinu was gone. And that was what triggered the whole Chet Egel. So the men, the Scharim, didn't have their leader. They didn't have their leader. They were lost. What's going on over here? We need somebody to lead us. Oh, but the women had their leader. The Rebbetzin was there, the Rebbetzin Miriam. And because they had that Rebbetzin, they weren't following. It's not Shaykh. He says, that's why they didn't play a role, because they weren't lost. They had the Meir Derech. They had their leader. So the Chassam Sofer talks away a shvard, and he says that's the reason that they went to Chor. The reason they went to Chor, because Chor was Miriam's son. And they made a cheshbon. They said, if we can get Chor on our side, then maybe the women are going to stop listening so much to Miriam, because they're going to see, look at this, even Miriam's son is with us. And he says, that's why they went to Chor first, Ahar and Sek. That's what's going on over there. Abakuponim, the Chassam Sofer talked a lot about Chor. A lot about Chor. And that's the big nakuda that he said. He said, the Eibish the Blight in the Shuldig. And because of the fact that Chor stood up against the Chet Egel, he was oicha to an Enikol Betzal, not just an Enikol Betzal. Betzal who built the Mishkan. What was the tachas of the Mishkan? The tachas of the Mishkan was to be mechaper on the Chet Egel. That was the whole purpose of the Mishkan. It was something that he was oicha to. Because of his Mesiris Nefesh, his Mesiris Nefesh didn't go to waste. You know, the Velt says from the Chazon Ish, that the Chazon Ish said that, why is it that you find, you know, in the Baal Tshuva movement, we're in Torah Links, so in the Baal Tshuva movement, you see kids that grow up in such a secular environment, and all of a sudden they have this urus to suddenly do Tshuva. So the Chazon Ish said, because, you know, 100 years ago, 150 years ago, there was a Haskalah. Abi, he said, and there were, you know, people that Nebuch, they were losing their children, left and right. Abi, Segevein, Babas, and Mamas, that when they used to light candles Friday night, they used to cry, Bechias. And he said, those Bechias didn't go to waste. And maybe it didn't work for their children, because their children had Bechira. And if you have Bechira, you have Bechira. But 100 years later, there'll be a Kirov movement, and their children is going to be the one on a university campus somewhere in Green Bay, Wisconsin, that's going to wake up and is going to decide that I want to do Tshuva. Chor's Mesiris Nefesh manifested itself in Bezalel. Mesiris Nefesh never goes to waste. Sometimes we're zeichet to see it, sometimes we're not, but it doesn't go to waste. It could be dairus later. Of the Eibush, the Blight, and the Shuldig. That's the lesson that we take away from the story of Chor.